I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Nothing but big things. Check the hit list. How we twist this. You're rocking with the best, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here with his nipple out.
What? All right.
And Pete's here with his nipples in. But his burps.
Peter, yeah. We're never going to get a Sony Award if you carry on like that.
They don't exist anymore.
Oh, do they not?
Yeah. So we won't.
So we're never going to get
one.
We were
pulse.
Never going to get one.
Yeah. Finger on the Sony Pulse.
I wonder why they get one of them for Christmas.
Once again.
Welcome to 2015, you guys. Lovely to see you all.
It is.
Yeah, happy new year to all the listeners.
Year.
To
everyone.
We're all 2015 upgraded. Yeah. We've got USB 3.0 ports.
Yeah, we're in our eighth year.
Wow.
Wow, that's depressing.
There it is, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got to thank
and we've got nowhere.
Thank a lot of listeners.
We're in
for
our
that.
Ninth year, actually. 07, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So ninth
yeah, but
year.
I joined like
calendar year.
I joined 3 years in, so.
That's not true.
You're slightly less late. Mm. Is that what you're arguing?
Yeah.
Was it 3 years? I thought it was maybe two.
No, I don't care.
It doesn't matter. Does it? No one cares.
All I'm saying is.
It's done now, isn't it?
We can't have that time back.
Doing it fortnightly, getting 2,000 people in a show. That's all I'm saying. Revolutionised this podcast, I did. Revolutionised.
I saw a clip of you being interviewed somewhere saying that.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking,
it's
what?
True.
That cheeky little shit.
It's true. You know, for all the guffaws and laughs I've given everyone over the years, I'm actually quite a responsible producer.
Did you get a Sony Award and not tell us?
Yeah.
No.
Seriously,
I've never been nominated.
All the levels are right now, so do you want to go? Sounds fine to me.
Come back when the edit's ready.
Not watch any football this weekend, it's fine.
Same as always. No, that's not true. That's not true. We love Peter, and we love Steven Gerrard. He's leaving Liverpool at the end of the season after a glittering career. What I would like to ask you chaps and myself, what would you like to see Mr. Gerrard do after he leaves the Reds, Jim?
Well, there's a lot of talk of him going to the MLS, isn't there?
Yes.
It looks like that is pretty much definitely going to happen. So yep. I would like to see him move probably to New York City, where he can link up in the middle with Frank Lampard. Then, you know, Rio Ferdinand's probably going to be available at the end of the season. Maybe get him up there. Give Darius Fassell a little chat.
Hang on a minute.
You want to see a pattern emerging. Ashley Cole, maybe you'll go over there. And, you know, basically, the Svenigans could come in and just get the band back together.
Right.
How good would it be? Sven's England in the MLS.
That would genuinely be quality.
They could even get to like the quarter final of a cup.
Yeah.
It's like a skip to victory.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Brilliant. Lampard and Gerrard in the middle. Still not quite working.
Yeah. Love that. Just for you, mate.
I've seen Ferdinand this season, and I don't think he'd get a game in the Euros.
No.
Yeah.
You're one of the rare few that has.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Luke, what are you thinking?
I'd quite like him to go to Hollywood, similar to Jim, different part of the United States of America. Go to Hollywood and see if he can catch up with some of his raking passes.
Hey.
Hollywood passes.
At Lukey Moore.
Yeah, right at you guys.
Liverpool fans.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Pete.
I think he could be involved in shark attacks in the, you know, like he bleeds red and sharks are attracted to blood. He could just be used. If there was a shark attack.
We do all bleed red, by the way.
Yeah, but it's a crimson.
He's really
it's
red.
Really red. That's what
redder.
The Liverpool fans are obsessed with him bleeding red.
Okay. His Reese is negative. That's his blood type.
His blood type is Liverpool.
Just red. Yeah. It's not even. It's just R-E-D in capital.
Yeah.
So he's got the most delicious red blood that the sharks love. So whenever there's a shark attack, he could just be like either himself or a vial of his own blood.
I wouldn't have opened by saying I revolutionised this podcast, knowing I had this answer in the locker. If I'd had this in the locker, I'd have just kept quiet.
At least I didn't steal one of Jim's answers. That's all I'm saying, guys. Letting you behind the curtain.
The worst thing about that is I thought of this question this week and I still couldn't think of an answer.
Oh, dear. I'm desperately trying to think of an answer because Jim took my one.
Yeah. I could see that in your face. Dear.
This is like the end of Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. Just everyone's pointing their guns at everyone else.
We have kicked down that fourth.
That's right. Yeah. The ramble finished in its ninth year.
Yeah.
We just wanted to get the nine.
Yeah.
And then we were done.
So, Pete, did you actually finish that answer?
Just to attract and distract sharks because he bleeds a particular bit of blood.
So the answer is no, then?
No.
No.
I personally think that's the best answer so far.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be better than mine. I'd like to see him go to the WWE so he could practice his pile drivers because he used to hit the ball really hard, didn't he, and score pile drivers.
Yeah. Bloody hell. It's always good to have a B answer, isn't it? That's what we've learned.
That's right.
2,000 listeners. And that answer belongs in those halcyon days.
If anything, that was too many.
Yeah. Can you just edit that out? Put Steve McLaren's Time Lord in its place.
Just put Luke in and just go on, I'm out shagging every night and just it'd be fine. Yeah. Cover it all up.
How much more do you reckon we're going to get out of that?
Well, I don't know, but it's in the 2014 compilation, which is still available for sale, ladies and gentlemen.
Which I think says more about your three's contribution than anything else.
If you've seen the Football Ramble on iTunes or whatever and you've never listened to it before and this is, you know, your first sort of like dip into it, we do normally talk about things other than ourselves from the past.
Yeah.
Do stick with it and we will get onto the football.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
I'd like to go back to last week's opening question.
Points?
No one gets the points.
That's a first.
In QI fashion, the listeners get the points.
Yeah, okay.
Should be said of the money, really.
From last week's opening question, do you know what? I thought about what you said about the old numbering system and you've won me over, actually.
Yeah,
good. I'm a changed man.
Excellent.
I'm quite happy with the new numbering system, so there we are. Also, Pulis was capless.
Yeah,
and
that's new.
And Mourinho apologised to a referee.
It's all gone a bit mad, hasn't it?
Influencing the game.
It's a new year.
It is.
Yeah.
New Year's revolutions.
New danger.
Yeah, blimey. There was a new third round in the FA Cup, different to last year, because there was different matches in that.
Can I just say that traditionally, and I've said this on the show before, the third round of the FA Cup is traditionally very much my favourite weekend of the domestic season, and it has been ruined this year by some appalling TV network choices. How can you say? I couldn't believe my eyes when I came into the living room on Saturday lunchtime thinking, right, what's the first game up on the telly? I cannot wait for this. football all day Saturday, football all day Sunday, no games on telly on Saturday. Yeah, if you want people to stay interested in the FA Cup, you might want to let them watch it.
Yeah. And then show it to them.
And yeah. then matches yeah. on a Monday.
And a Tuesday night.
And yeah. and the matches on a Monday aren't televised. But so there's no reason for it to be on a Monday or a
madness.
Tuesday.
No.
On Saturday, though, there was an Edinburgh derby, so it seemed pretty silly to
so put you were busy.
Other games on. yeah. Everyone was yeah, watching yeah. that.
It's kind of disrespectful that they even held the games.
My friend in the US was going to me, I'm watching Tranmere Swansea at the moment. Brilliant. I can't watch it. How are you watching it? And I'm not.
Wow. Well, it's enough, sort of like, the thing with streams is, like, which we've all indulged at time to time. I mean, I don't think yeah. we're sort of like, destroying it. We have yeah, all
my indulged
streams.
My computer has barely recovered.
yeah.
it's just pop up after yeah. pop up. Adverts for Persil. Why is everyone talking about Persil? Yeah. I'm confused. Got to close that window.
Yes, I do want to close the chat window. It's really annoying.
And just got, the X was actually a virus.
And you get, like, the choice of, like, three or four. What's that?
That's what you hear. The chat window.
Yeah, it just pops
knocking.
Every time. Yeah.
Right. I just get like
so I've heard.
You get like the choice of like three or four different streams, and one of them will be in Russian, and you go, "Am I really that much of a xenophobe that I won't listen to?" I feel like, you know when Craig Charles,
I'll put the radio on.
You know when Craig Charles drove up to Manchester no. and he kept on smoking crack.
Oh,
and
he, right. Didn't he call it like a cheeky Friday?
And he kept sending the taxi driver, the Addison Lee driver, out to grab a pornography from the service stations, and he'd bring it back. And every time he'd read it, he'd get upset because the pornography was in foreign.
Oh dear.
Wow. So he's got, this pornography is foreign. Why is he reading the articles? I don't know. But he's upset. And I just feel like Craig Charles when I see a stream. I go, well, this isn't good enough. It's in Russian.
He's a gentleman. That's why.
He did say, I think what you're trying to answer the quote was, didn't he defend himself by saying, I occasionally smoke a bit of crack to unwind.
Unwind. Friday, yeah. Wind up, if anything.
Yeah.
yeah, the FA Cup. QPR 0, Sheffield United 3. Sheffield United bloody love it, don't they? They absolutely love it. They're in the Super League Cup.
I feel sad for QPR. I mean, how is Harry Redknapp able to operate with that sort of threadbare squad that he's got?
I feel sorry for QPR fans.
Yeah.
Sheffield United, in the last calendar year, they've beaten 5 Premier League sides. Absolutely ridiculous. QPR have won 2 FA Cup games since 2001.
Not bothered.
Newcastle-esque.
Whereas Sheffield United have won 12 out of their last 16 FA Cup matches.
Do you know the last time Ports have won an FA Cup game?
No final, way.
The semi-final of 2010.
Oh, wow. I think you've said that before.
Yeah. But QPR, spare a thought for QPR, because they were definitely the owners of the worst defending on display in the entire third round, and they're a Premier League team.
Yeah, no, it was clownish at times.
It wasn't even defending.
That third goal, Campbell Rice, was taking the piss.
Yeah,
That was like the goal, the sort of goal you'd imagine he'd score in training. Do you know what I mean? When it's just they're all winding down, you know. It was towards the end of the session, whatever. Like, just, I'll do some tricks. He had no need to do the sort of little fancy footwork flicky bits he did before he scored. He just wanted to see if he could get away with it. And he could.
It was one of those ones where, you know, he would take it past the goalkeeper once and probably think to himself, I better pass this now because there will be defenders swarming around me.
Yeah. Nah.
No,
I know, one of them's Nader Manure and he seems confused.
Nobody's
he's
still,
forgotten which way's up, which way's down.
Clint Hill's the only one that tries and he's on the bench. Oh. So, no chance.
Defending your mate.
Yeah. Deal with it.
Blimey, yes.
Before I can slate QPR, I have to check if Clint Hill's in the team or not.
Still seeing those mandrills.
Oh, yeah. But Sheffield United's record in the FA Cup is bloody good.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, they've got a bit of pedigree there, haven't they?
I know. Well, I mean, 3-0 away to a Premier League. So what a result.
But QPR, they really did look a bit like they weren't trying. And you wonder if that was sort of the pre-game message. Surely Harry would at least go, make it a clean break, lads. Just like, at least pretend you're trying, surely.
Yeah. But you've got to at least pretend you're trying.
Don't dance instead of tackling, for example.
QPR are normally very strong at home. I mean, for a team of that in that position, I think we said maybe a week or two ago that I think they've got the best record at home in the bottom half. So, I mean, they should really be putting Sheffield United away. But Sheffield United, what have they won? 12 of their last 16 FA Cup games?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's not a bad record.
No, absolutely. But, I mean, and it was nearly a stunning weekend for Sheffield, the city.
Yeah, in general.
One of the most historical, possibly the most historical footballing city on the planet.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'll go with that.
That reminds me, Pete, the Sheffield rules, because the Sheffield, was it the Sheffield sort of...
Yeah, we were talking about it via text, weren't we? Yeah, where all the rules came from.
Because the Sheffield rules, I forget the actual name of it, so forgive me, but they kind of helped establish the modern
rules.
They're
the bedrock of modern football, aren't they? Basically.
That's right, and one of the rules they disbanded was the fair catch rule.
Like, at some point you could just catch the ball once.
Yeah.
As long as you weren't under pressure or anything, you just got to catch it, which I really like.
With your hands, yeah. Anyone.
You have your one. Yeah. It's fine.
Mike Jones still wouldn't give a penalty for that.
No.
What a rule, though, that
one. No, it's ball to hand in yeah.
some way.
Ball to hands for ages.
It's like Mike Jones thinks, like, the ball touching your hands is fine. Just yeah. like it's a blanket
it's intent.
Thing.
Like, he nodded off for, like, 20 seconds in referee school for that bit. And yes, no one's yeah. reported him
let's
up on
ask it. The ball what he thinks.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your intent there, Mr. Ball? Yo. Terrible. Yeah,
but of course, Sheffield Wednesday lost 2-1 to Man City. But so close to getting that draw.
Never going to count themselves. Big James Milner. I mean, Jay Mill is a sort of player now who's so consistently talked about as being underrated. He's now probably rated.
Yes, yeah, Makaleli.
Yeah, he's now rated. People now know how good he is.
Double on his 29th birthday.
Mm. Yeah, what a treat.
Yes, please, round four.
I think he's one of the only players Man City have got whose contract's coming up that hasn't been offered a new one yet, which is ooh. Interesting. Yeah.
He plays anywhere and he does anything.
I know,
he'll still play even if he's not contracted.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. They've sussed that out. They're just not going to bother.
Could he be the first... Well, I said... the first truly kind of, if you know what I mean, freelance footballer. So just rent a footballer.
Day rate.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
day rate.
Yeah. He really could.
Scab footballer.
Yeah. I think that would be fantastic.
His day rate would be high, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Can you imagine he'd donate body parts to other players at City?
Yeah, but he would probably... But if someone like one of the teams down the bottom, like a QPR or West Brom came in for him, he would go half rates, I reckon.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, redknapp rates.
Mates rates.
Mates rates with Milner. I think it's everyone's his friend, so...
It's an idea, James, if you're listening. Mm.
He's 29, though, so, right. He'd be looking for his one big contract to see him through his 30s, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, he's at Man City.
True.
I would imagine.
Well, if they're not
going
to give him a contract, he'll have to go...
Big.
Yeah. But he might be pressing himself out of the market, though, at all. Because nobody's going to get excited about
like Wayne Bridge.
Remember Rivaldo did that? Rivaldo, when he left Barcelona. He's like,
Milan. He went to Milan.
Yeah. At some point, he left a club and was like, well, these are the wages I'm after. And every single club in the world was like, well, I'm not paying that. Well, I'm not signing for anyone then.
That's right. He went to Milan and then he was at Olympiakos. He was playing in Greece, definitely.
I think it was before that.
Kind of more in his pomp.
Yeah, right in his pomp.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying, and
he's basically had a career since his pomp.
Yeah.
Sure. But I thought you were going to say, and then he ended up in Uzbekistan or whatever it was.
Yeah, because that was just because he loves playing so much.
He was in Angola and all sorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Let him.
Yeah.
Coming to a pitch near you, Ronaldo, former World Cup winner. But yeah, so Man City, yeah. I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because some clubs go absolutely postal when they struggle to beat a lower side. I mean, for example, a friend of mine's a Derby fan, and he was just going, oh man, it was ridiculous. But then these games do happen in the Cup, don't they? I mean, there you have Manchester City, the champions of England, just scraping through.
Yeah. It's a shame that we didn't have a proper upset, really.
Well, not as yet, but you never know. There's a game
there was some that was sniffing around.
Sheffield United, QPR is a proper upset.
That's how little I kind of put QPR in that bracket, I guess.
Over that one. Well, and there's another one, and we'll get on to that.
The reason it didn't make it look like an upset at Loftus Road is because QPR genuinely were so shit.
Yeah.
There was no other chance. It wasn't like QPR were like battering the door down Sheffield United. They actually completely outclassed them.
There was another upset, which one of us predicted, but a bit more on that later. Crystal Palace, Pardew's first game in charge, 4-0.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got? 4-0. Pardew. That's what he brings to a club.
Exactly.
Four goals that you could have had.
An away win.
Yeah.
An away win in the third round of the FA Cup. He's not delivered that in about seven seasons.
Well, Newcastle's done it this season, Pete.
Pete, help him to help you. That's what he would have said.
Palace, they played like a team of messiahs. A team of giant messiahs.
He's taking them.
Yeah. They're in the hat for the round four, whereas Newcastle aren't, of course. But,
they rarely are, Marcus.
In the bin. They were loving it, the Palace fans. It's a match made in heaven. Did you see him saluting them?
Yeah.
Giving it the old...
They were singing Alan Pardew's Red and Blue Army as well. I heard that.
Don't like to hear that.
I totally forgot as well. I saw on the BBC one of those...
You'll get yours, Palace. you'll get yours served up in a Pardew-shaped dish.
Do you think they'll buy the rights to sackpardew.com?
Yeah,
eventually?
I think so, yeah.
It was one of those highlights of previous FA Cups and all that sort of business. And I forgot Pardew scored the goal, the winner in the great semi-final.
Yeah, that's why...
In his tiny shorts.
Large part of the reason he so loved it. Though,
of course, yeah.
People were telling me, some Palace fans were telling me that he was sort of like, well... loved in a sort of ironic way, but then he actually turned the fans round and became quite an important player, and he scored that important goal. And now he is well loved. I think they. I think I'm right in saying that Palace fans used to sing a song about Pardew a bit sort of ironically, as in like he's not great or anything, but we really.
But
like
he's
him.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he actually turned it around.
Will they still do that in a few months?
Who
time?
Knows, mate? Who knows? But I'll tell you something now.
If he goes on one of those runs,
I'll tell you something now. The John Carver era is very much underway, and I can't bloody wait.
Bring it
Carver
in.
Out. Yeah.
Bring it in.
Yeah. Are we at Carver out yet?
Are we at a Carvery yet?
Beardsley in. He still doesn't have his badges. He's been there for fucking ages. Still can't take control of a Premier League club.
No.
Don't know what the fuck he's doing there.
Do you want any professional development, Peter? Not really.
No. No, I'm right, yeah,
he's just there for something to do, isn't he?
I'm there signing calendars in Sports Direct. But was it, that's was all it, I do.
I think in between last week's show and this week's show, Don Hutchison kicked off about Pardew.
Has he?
Saying that he doesn't think that Pardew. He just
be quite leery.
He says something really snidey, something like, oh, well, the senior pros at Palace won't like Pardew at all. Mm. Like, he won't last very long there, sort of thing.
Oi. If Hutchison spouted off, that's out of order. To slightly misquote Roy Evans, I think.
But Palace were decent enough. They did
they
okay.
Were. Gale, what, I really like Gale, the goal he scored. So two footed.
Absolutely no reason to give the old cupping of the year to the Dover fans.
Yeah, that was.
Well, they were like two or three. They're two love at the time.
I like that.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll never play against us again.
They're
yeah.
a non-league team, Dwight. At least go the Berahino route. Well, I can't score against this lot. There's no bother.
Yeah, yeah. Make hair while the sun shines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Really rub it in, like beating like your 4-year-old brother at yeah. Connect Four or something.
Maybe that's what Pardew brought. He sort of said, "Look, if you do score, proper go mental."
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Pardew era. It's the hubris.
It wouldn't be surprising, would it?
That's how he's trying to get into Pardew's good books, you know. If yeah. just be as hubristic as possible yeah. all the time.
The Dwight Gale's thinking, what sort of stuff does Pards like? Arrogance.
Really misplaced arrogance.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Imagine that would be Yeovil 2-0. What a goal from Herrera. Yeovil had him going for a bit.
Was a beauty. Yeah. The great thing about it was really instinctive as well. He didn't even look where the goal was.
Just
it was
swivelled volley into the top corner. Who, whatever the opposition, you
it was
know,
a proper
that
dipper.
Goal is special.
A chicken dipper,
it
Jim.
Was a bin dipper.
A bin dipper. Yeah, it was a fairly straightforward win for Manchester United in the end, although Yeovil did okay. It's one of those ones where you look at the highlights, you know the result, and you watch the highlights. And oh, that game was on the TV, though.
Yeah, it was a game.
But I didn't
watch
it. And you see a couple of chances that Yeovil have, and you think, oh, well, yeah, it's so
frustrating. There was that one.
The preposterously named Kiefer Moore, whose mum clearly was a massive fan of Young Guns in the early 90s, had a chance where he... It was really odd.
I couldn't figure out how he couldn't get his feet out of his own feet.
Yeah.
And Michael Owen said on the co-commentary, oh, you know, he's a big lad, so that's not really his forte. What, kicking the ball?
Moving.
Yeah. Ball.
Yeah.
It's like you want to just get this vendor go, just give me a second, I'll do a run-off.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
I can have a drop ball. I wasn't ready.
Kicked it in the same way, like, you know when like the ball gets caught under the feet of like a table football player? It was like that. He just couldn't get enough power on it.
Like an anxiety dream where you're playing football and you can't kick the ball because your feet have just you can't move them. Yeah. It was like that was happening to him in his actual life.
I thought it was like Diana Ross's penalty in 1994.
Yeah. She got a bit of contact on there.
She got more contact.
Yeah, this is genuine.
She put it wide.
I mean, it was what
she did make the goal explode though, yeah, which is quite true. Special.
I love that. It's not his forte. Playing football.
Yeah. Well, hang on a minute.
This is from a man who thought he wasn't injury prone.
He's a professional footballer and he plays as a striker. And he's 8 yards out in front of goal. And he doesn't make proper contact with the ball because that's not his forte. I don't understand it.
Put it on his head.
No.
He turns around, he's feeling, oh, well, you know what I like.
Oh, I should have flicked
not
up.
My forte.
I should have flicked up and headed it.
There was diving along the ground, rubbing his nose off the dirt, trying to head it in.
There were some terrible misplaced passes by Manchester United, though.
Yeah, there was.
They couldn't even
make
the pitch. The pitch was all right.
They do quite like that, though, don't they? Misplaced pass.
Terrible.
Do you know what? There was an article, I think it might be one of Jonathan Wilson's ones, that apparently they are the team in the league, granted that was a cup game, but in the league they've played statistically the second most longest passes out of everybody in the league. Apparently Van Gaal likes to
lump
get it up to the...
Rick.
Well, I don't know about a lump.
Get it up to the tiny man in Falcao.
There we are. Get it up to the front men straight away.
But, I mean, you know, for all Manchester United...
That's Fellaini. Get it over him.
Poor performance. Like, at least they paid due respect to the damn cup by playing a full-strength side, pretty much. You know, Falcao played on that ground.
Unlike QPR. And see what happens. No, you're right. Yeah, Yeovil Town seeing Falcao. Well, like, the other year was one of the best players in the world.
You know, my team, you guys, like, you know, they just didn't field anyone. It's weird every single time. Because Mike actually doesn't want to get any further.
That doesn't
explain. I got beat 1-0. It's not bad.
Carver
was the kickoff, and that was it.
Yeah.
But Carver's, everyone's sort of going, oh, Carver's not done anything to enhance his reputation as a manager. He's done exactly what Mike Ashley wants, get out of the cup.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
it was. But it's just like, every time the third round, there's a lot of players just go, oh, I've got a niggle, I don't want to go and play to Leicester.
That's right. when Di Maria came on,
scored Premier League
that,
tie as well.
When Di Maria scored that second goal, because football is so vastly different now in terms of the good teams are truly so much better than sort of like you over the poor side, the bottom of the league and all that sort of stuff. But to bring Di Maria on and for him to score a goal, it's a bit like stop hitting yourself. You know what I mean? It's a bit of a mismatch.
But as a Yeovil Town fan, to say that you saw one of the stars of 2014
World Cup,
and whoever was marking Falcao as well, to at least say we only lost 2-0 and he didn't score.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, that's what's brilliant about this round of the FA Cup, isn't it? And there's those people that get that bite of the cherry.
But to see Di Maria drive with extreme prejudice and nail into the coffin of any hope you've had of achieving anything this season is a privilege.
Yeah.
That's how bad it can get.
Yeah.
The Bovril must have tasted so sweet at the end of the match. Whoa, lovely.
Well, they probably went home and went, at least we're bottom of the league.
That took our minds off it.
If I heard every single time, like every 5 minutes, we're gone, they just need to take this form into the league. Yeah. They lost 2-0.
Yeah.
Well, Sheffield United can't get promoted.
No.
In the latter stages of the cup, they're golden.
Yeah.
Right. If ever get, just tell them it's a cup game every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you should do. That's what you should do.
By gum.
Oh, Blyth Spartans.
Yeah, see, that's a heartbreaking one, isn't it?
That really
they were 2-0 up.
Non-league.
Great goals as well. Mm. Really good goals.
Northern Premier Division.
What's so heartbreaking about them losing 3-2? And it was within about 10 minutes, wasn't it? They conceded all three goals in the second half. Like, those fans are looking at getting, again, like another bite of the cherry. Like, who'd you get next? You get all that excitement of, we can do this again. And that momentum of a run is just, for the people that live there, that must be so exciting. And it was just heartbreaking for them.
Yeah. I don't want to have a go too much because he's clearly not a professional footballer, but the goalkeeper was utterly dreadful.
Yeah, yeah.
He was really bad. Like, I mean, that 10-minute spell, he was all over the place. He really was.
I thought you were going to say, was it Dale, the guy who scored the two goals?
Yeah, his second goal was great.
Yeah. It was, but he hardly celebrated.
No.
He had the stance of someone, well, I'll do this again. Against another big side. Do you think that's him psychologically trying to get into agents and managers' heads? Well, he must be decent. He's not that bothered
by
it.
Was the second goal where he just danced through the defence?
Yeah, and slotted in.
The defence didn't actually move, did they?
Yeah. No, but it was a busy box. It wasn't like he had a clear shot at goal. He had to angle it and pick his point very well.
Do you know what, why do we not... Why have I never heard that before? A busy box.
A busy box.
You'd think that would be quite a standard football term.
You think it was? Yeah.
It was an in and around the busy box.
In and around the busy box. Yeah, let's try and put it in there.
It's a busy box for me, Clive.
Yeah, there we are. Cantona like driving one through a busy box in an FA Cup final against Liverpool in 1996.
You know, I think I've realised why you don't hear it, because things like driving one through a busy box. Yeah. Sound like they mean something else.
I was about to say we're better than that, but we're not.
No, we're not. No, not. We've proved that.
Yeah, if anything.
Let us move on. Yeah. But yeah, so it was a great shame for Spartans, but my goodness.
Why is it Leicester 1, Newcastle 0 in this running order?
We've mentioned it.
Oh, come on, give it more of a mention.
Alnwick made a great save in that game, I will say that.
I mean, he's played absolute dog shit for the last 5 or 6 matches. But
what do you want to say about it?
Harsh. I just want to say that it's funny because John Carver is a comedy character.
I think we've covered that, have we not?
I'd like to see him get a job long. Well, let's try that. I'd like to see him get a job long term.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Because Pardew.
I mean, you're not talking about Southampton this season, are you?
Because no.
I mean,
you know, no, you haven't.
You haven't really spoken about them.
They could find a win, could they?
Someone probably did a bit better than Portsmouth, though, weren't they?
Yes, they are.
Someone's parade's been slashed on.
What I'm saying is, Pardew went to Palace and they probably had the opportunity to take John Carver with him. No fucking thing.
No.
Do you know what I think would be really good, John? I think you should stay here because I think you've got a good chance of getting this job.
Yeah.
Oh, cheers, boss. I'll stay there.
I'd quite like to see Ricky Tomlinson get the Newcastle job in character as Mike Bassett.
That'd be
interesting, wouldn't it?
Very good, yeah. It would be nice.
Life imitating art.
He'd get an interview.
Because Mike actually wouldn't know what it was.
Did I read there was a Kickstarter to reboot the... fucking franchise of
reboot?
Yeah, well, like a, not like a
sequel,
reimagining,
like a prequel,
like Spider-Man. Yeah,
it's not a franchise; Bassett, it's just a film.
Mike Bassett, England manager. I'm sure there's a Kickstarter about that.
Really?
If I'm wrong, you know,
let's hope you are.
Make me watch Mike Bassett, England manager. I'm fairly certain, like, but it's Ricky Thompson. Like, oh god, give me some
I'll tell you
money.
What, Newcastle could do with getting that lad back from goal. They need goal 4.
Yeah,
because he put a few away.
Becker.
Yeah. Mm. He put a few away.
Yeah.
Brighton beat Brentford 2-0. Chris Hughton's the new man in charge of Brighton.
It's a good result with Brighton because Brentford are doing very well.
Yeah. It's good to see Chris Hughton back in
seems
in a
like
job.
A good egg,
nice egg.
But, yeah. Of course, former Newcastle. I mean, he did well for Newcastle.
He's not a notable egg.
No, he's a nice egg.
Nice egg. Good egg.
Good egg. Yeah.
It's a very different sort of egg. That.
Different types of eggs.
Definitely agree there. Yeah, so good for them. Derby County beat Southport 1-0. Oh, Southport, so close.
Yeah, they were.
Injury time
that
penalty.
It was such a penalty as well.
It was
such a really Derby, lazy penalty.
Derby peppered them for the whole game, really.
The commentary on that game was superb, because as we've mentioned before, when it comes to the FA Cup, there are so many games that you get a lot of local commentators.
That's right.
And stuff.
That's where Ricky Lambert Celebrate comes from.
Exactly, yeah. And the guy doing I think it was BBC Radio Derby, it was great. It was just like, it was almost like the movie Big, but he was knowledgeable about football and suddenly was commentating on the FA Cup. He was so excitable, and he got the right game for it as well. I don't know who the man is, but I want to hear more of
it. It's great. My favourite bit was when Leon Best hit one over the bar when he perhaps should have done better. He went, Leon Best, oh no, goal kick.
That's right. You've got the shrill tone very well there.
Thank you very much. I've been practicing all afternoon.
Yeah,
you Nick Hewer.
You've got track record of practicing impressions.
I don't know what you mean.
Is that Bob Hoskins?
I think so. There's nothing wrong with it.
And that's Nelson Mandela, right?
Or no. Now, Southampton 1.
Wow.
Just edit that out for crying out loud.
No.
Southampton 1, Ipswich 1. A decent result for Ipswich.
No. We are not moving on from that yet.
Carry on, come on.
Oh, good result for Ipswich. Yeah.
It was. It was a great result. And Ambrose with a nice looping header, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Southampton, poor result for them, having to go away.
It's a tricky place.
McCarthy's new den. I said new den, it's nothing to do with Millwall.
There's a lot of decent Championship teams this season. And if you're a side, well, Southampton probably a little bit better than average in the Premier League, but if you're like an average Premier League side going to someone like Ipswich, it's a tough game. No question about that.
Yeah, no question about that, Pete.
Let's get on to the big one.
Now then.
Let's get on to the big one.
We said there was another update, Tim.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Another upset.
It was. Rochdale 1, Nottingham Forest 0.
Good more suggested.
I called it again last week. Now, all I need is a Nottingham Forest owners to fulfil their end of the bargain. Because I've called it right the whole time.
How long have we got?
By March.
A month and a half, March.
I said, they're not keeping their end of it.
Right,
said,
what do you mean?
What are you doing keeping him in the job? Because he was a good left back.
You've had no agreement with the club.
Well, I don't return my calls.
He's won twice. They've won twice in the last 18 in all competitions. Ooh, for us.
That's a stinker.
But
isn't
we don't. Yeah, it is. But we often moan that owners are trigger happy. Is it not nice to see them, you know, put the safety catch on for a little bit longer?
Not in this specific incident. No.
Why? Because it will prove you wrong if they do.
Yes. Take him down the end of the garden. Blood his fucking friends.
Tell all the fans he's gone to a farm.
Speaking of commentary, there was a lovely one in that game when Burke galloped up the pitch for Forest, and the commentator said, Burke goes past the defender, and he was fouled.
In the penalty, he looked
like it was in the penalty anyway. And Burke goes past the defender, he's won Forester. Free kick! Really? It just was like, sure.
Yeah, I love it. I want more incredulity and...
Oh, we got it. Yeah.
And Burke gets all the way to the other penalty area and cuts inside and he's clipped and there's one Forest. A free kick?
That's excellent, Matt.
Brilliant. Free kick?
More incredulity, please.
Really?
Yeah. Milkimp? Terrible.
Superb. Wonderful. Superb. Great win for Rochdale.
So Pierce is under pressure. Put it another way, right?
Yeah. Pressure.
Put it another way.
Put it another way. Luke is right.
No. No, I was going to make a semi-serious point. If Stuart Pearce had never played for Nottingham Forest, would he still be in a job?
It's impossible to know because that only exists in an alternative universe that may or may not exist.
Yeah, make an assessment.
And also, you're kind of thinking that the owners of modern football teams give a shit about all that toss. You know,
well, that's
what I mean?
How he got the job. Mm. Yeah. That's literally how he got it. How else did he get the job? Well, this great manager credentials. Come on.
But he has managed in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Whether he did a good job or not is a different matter. But he has actually got a bit of a CV.
Yeah, he's got a degree of pedigree for that level.
Yeah.
Did he wire your house up wrong?
No. Yeah. Kept playing Sex Pistols really loud like 3 in the morning. He's just not good enough, and he's got the job on reputation.
He started the job very, very well thanks to the goals of his forward line.
Oh, Alan Pardew. Did he start well or not? I can't remember. Was he manager of the year? Yeah, shut up.
Luke, no, he wasn't.
Do you think part of it is obviously it's a very difficult
difficult job, Forrest. There's a lot of expectation on it because they are, you know, a true sleeping giant, really, when you look at what they achieved, or I suppose overachieved in the past. And, like, it's tough to keep the fans on side for a manager. So do you think they're thinking, well, a shit manager that they, you know, who they'll give so much time to is better than just any manager, and we can't get a good manager because we keep being shit?
Yeah, maybe.
That is effectively what's going on.
Part of it's a shit cycle, Jim.
Part of firing a manager is, well, who you're going to get into replacement. Of course. Yeah, as Pete will find out to his chagrin in the next 6 months. But
there's no value in the market.
Yeah, in my head, Alex Ferguson. Yeah.
In my head, Billy Davis is due another stint.
Yeah, he'll pop his head up again.
What about Frankie Clark?
Come on, Forrest.
Frankie Clark. Get him back. Although he was sacked. I think he was an ambassador for the club and he got sacked.
Wow.
How bad do you have to be?
Yeah, presumably you're just tainting the club's reputation on their payroll.
We heard you had another incident in a pub, Frank. Yeah. And you were wearing your blazer. Your Forrest branded blazer.
Come in, Frank.
What are you doing? Come in, Frank. Not Forrest is shite.
Yeah. Come in, Frank. Sit down. You're making it worse, mate. Give me your blazer badge. Give me a tie.
This is quite literally, Frank, the opposite of your job.
Yeah.
Frank, I didn't realise we could make you look even more depressed.
Get the moustache back. Get the moustache back.
Just hide your sad face behind
you
as
were
much
a good
cash
striker.
As you can muster.
Oh, man. Brian McDermott. Got to get him back in football, haven't we? Mm.
He's in football. He's scouting for Arsenal.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm. Good. There we are then.
Doing those
I'm happy.
So, what have we learned from this? Bring back Frankie Clark.
Bring back Frankie Clark in any capacity. Newcastle job. Yeah. There you go. You haven't been, wouldn't you?
It's from the North East.
Got a manager.
A qualified manager. Yeah. Speaking of clubs from the North East, Gateshead, they lost 7-0 to West Brom. Shame.
Mm. After 45 minutes? No, 40 minutes, I think.
Something like that.
Scored,
42, yeah. I think. They had him going.
Well, Pudis started off up in the stands and he came down, didn't he? So I'm not having this. This is 0-0.
He came down on 41. Clearly,
he's fuming, wasn't he?
And that's what I mean. When he's got the cap off, he looks even harder.
Mm. Yeah, maybe that's what that was.
What
about
was he doing up in the? It was kind of like the executive box, wasn't
he? Probably thought it's Gateshead. I'll have another weekend off.
Officially taken charge.
I'll be taking charge for Gateshead at home.
That's got on my record.
That's why Pardew was so keen to cut the deal.
Over away.
Over away. We'll have that.
Yeah.
Get the first win under the belt.
Yeah.
Berahino, there was much made of him not celebrating any of the goals because there was speculation that Pulis may be looking to sell him and so on and so forth. Mm. But as Luke said, it might just be once against Gateshead.
Well, did you hear what Berahino himself said?
I was just being professional.
Yeah, but he also made some really strangely worded comment, like, you know, there was business to get down to or something weird like that.
Yeah, but somewhere to go.
Goals are his business, and business is good.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm ambivalent about it because, on one hand, as I touched on earlier, I think maybe he just thought, well, if I can't score goals against Gateshead, then I'm a Premier League striker. I need to be doing this. But at the same time, he came across as a bit of a dick. He needs to at least
quite disrespectful to Gateshead,
agree,
isn't it?
Yeah,
as a team and as individuals as well. So either way, it's smacks of a bad attitude, which we've heard about from Berahino. True. And he needs to sort that out because, you know, there are a few players who have those sort of reputations at this stage of their careers who then go on to, you know, to fulfil all the promise they appear to have. So he's got to sort that out quickly.
And Berahino's got a bit of a rap sheet already. He's clearly a bit of a wrong one.
The chairman did say in that interview that we've mentioned the other week that he's changed a lot, Berahino. Mm. Right. He said that I think fairly unprovoked.
Since Morrison chinned him.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you would learn punchly.
Yeah, I've changed a lot because the other players keep punching me.
I didn't want to change. I still don't. But
strangers keep headbutting me for things I say to them in public.
Yeah. You signed who as a coach? Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah. I've googled him, and is it that one? Is it the one that comes up on Google?
My dad told me about him.
I forgot to mention the Southport. We spoke about Southport, didn't
Southport,
we?
Yeah.
The keeper, David Ray Mountain, he played really well. He's on loan from Blackburn.
He did play well, yeah.
He came from he didn't come from Barcelona, but he came from the city of Barcelona.
Right.
But he tweeted, "One of the weirdest feelings I've ever had: sadness, but at the same time happiness. That's what football do to you."
Oh, that's nice.
That's what football do to you.
He was pleased with his own performance.
I want that to be. That sounds to me like it should be the catchphrase of like a football playing cartoon character.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of each episode, "Dad, what football do to you?"
I know. I think it's more like it's a character that FIFA would have. Yeah. So when FIFA go into a country and go, "Yeah, so we'll have all your tax profits from the last 10 years.
Yeah.
We'll have all your stadiums made by the end of the year.
We will fleece the crap out of you.
We now run your law system."
Exactly. Yeah. So when they get up and leave the meeting and the local government is just sitting there in tatters, the bloke just turns to them and goes, "That's what football do to you."
Yeah.
And off he goes.
Or just like an aerial shot of loads of skulls spelling out, "That's what football do to you."
Hello, is that FIFA? Yeah, it's, we had the World Cup like 2 summers ago, and now like, all our stadiums are empty and everyone's poor.
I'm wondering when the money's going to come through. We have invoiced you.
Yeah.
There were football duty.
Is that American bloke who's made of hair? Yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Chuck Blazer, you're going on 2 motorised scooters and have got a separate Manhattan apartment just for your clothing. That one football do to you. Yeah.
That's what Rosen House prices do to you.
Yeah.
Chuck Blazer, eh?
Mm.
What's what the show's going to be called this week?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yeah. But,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Marvellous stuff in the FA Cup, but also, and we can't ignore the Premier League on New Year's Day. We're going to have to go back a little bit further.
Mm.
That New Year's Day in the Premier League was stunning.
Brilliant.
The most goals scored on New Year's Day in the Premier League, or the top flight, should I say, since 1987.
Yeah.
1987.
There was that famous sort of early 60s Boxing Day. Oh, it was Boxing Day, wasn't it? Not New Year's Day. Mm. Did you see that doing the rounds? There was like 150 million goals.
I think I remember.
That was Boxing Day, not New Year's
Day.
Yeah,
they were all hungover.
Early 60s or something.
It wasn't when there was a 4-all between, was it Derby and Manchester United? Was that
there was like a 10-0 at one point as well.
Was
yeah.
My giddy aunt. It's incredible really to see the top two. It's the second time in English footballing history that the top two have been joined with exactly the same stats after December.
Oh, well, the City and Chelsea, same goals for, same against, yeah. Same points, everything. Yeah.
But the previous one actually wasn't that long ago. It was Arsenal Manchester United in 2004.
Does it sort of go forward that it's also, I think the both keepers have conceded the same amount? Obviously, I guess, but the same actual personnel, and also the leading scorers have scored the exact same goals as well.
Oh, is that
wow. Cool?
That's amazing. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
It's tighter than it
appears. That really is what football does to you.
There we go.
Yeah.
Spurs made sure that Chelsea's goals against went up a little bit more.
What a game.
I was watching that game. Right, I was watching the start of that game. And I was listening to it in the car. And I got out of the car, took the shopping back into the house, put all the stuff away, checked on the Sky Sports app while I was waiting.
This is going to get good now, yeah?
For my TV to line up.
Was it a big shop?
And it said 3-0 Spurs. I was like, that's a mistake. That is definitely a mistake. It cannot be, or 3-1, whatever. That cannot be the case.
That's patchy Wi-Fi, surely.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
But conversely, I still can't remember a team being so hammered, soundly hammered, but also playing quite well at the same time in Chelsea. Yeah. Chelsea still looked like they could get up something.
I know, that's the
point. And
Spurs
did manage to make it like quite edgy.
They did, yeah, as they will. Spurs must have had no idea that the answer to their striking problem was also their very own answer to Forrest Gump in Harry Kane.
Yeah.
just like...
But my friend and yours, Jim, Scott Hagen, yes. who's a marvellous man, he summed it up quite nicely. He said, it's just beautiful watching Harry Kane. He hasn't read the script, probably because he, you know, he's maybe...
Can't read.
Maybe. But he said, it's just glorious to see him going around. He said, normally Spurs go into this game like George McFly in Back to the Future, nervously laughing as Biff mugs him off.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Such a great analogy, I thought.
Well, Chelsea's record against Spurs up until that point was really strong.
I think it's only Man United beating Spurs more in the Premier League at
all,
I think.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, Harry Kane, sooner or later, because Harry Kane is a player, sooner or later, and probably we're getting to that point now, where he's just going to have to be taken very seriously.
Of course.
He has to be taken on face value. Really hard worker, knows where the goal is, strong, but he's galvanised his team.
They're great goals.
He's streaks ahead of any other striker they've got.
Yeah, of course.
Varied great goals. The Harry Kane story.
The Harry Kane train rides on.
I can't wait for the European Championships, obviously.
Of course.
Get Kane on the plane.
Kane on the plane. Very
Kane good. On that the works, plane. Yeah, did you see what I mean, Pete? Yeah,
Harry Kane is just a perfect example of that's what football do to you.
That's what that new system do to you. Yeah.
He'd be the character in that strip, I think.
Yeah, I see you saying
that. He's got a very old face.
Quite possibly. Spurs, though, marvellous stuff. It was a sensational game. And as you say, even when Chelsea made it 5-3, you thought...
With Terry's fifth goal of the season.
Yeah.
He scored a lot on the slide.
And it was a striker's goal, a tap-in.
Yeah. Top scoring Premier League defender ever?
I'd have thought
must
so.
Be. Yeah, maybe. Must be. Yeah, it must be.
Him or Frank Sinclair.
Steve Bruce, maybe? Bruce once got 19 in a season.
Yeah, but I think that was pre-Prem.
No, that was Bruce, very much...
No goals count, because Frank Sinclair's got to be part of it.
Speaking of which, you carry on.
Oh, David Dunn.
I'm gonna bring up...
Richard Dunn,
yeah.
Sorry.
And Carragher's one behind.
It's a crap point I'm making. Look.
Yeah, I'm going to carry on, because I'm going to bring up Ronald Koeman's scoring stats.
Oh, right.
Because they are absolutely unbelievable.
Well, when Koeman had a free kick, it was like a penalty.
Yeah.
It's something else. And that one he scored in the European Cup final at Wembley, when nothing could separate Sampdoria and Barcelona. Mm. And then Barcelona got a free kick, 25 yards out. Pretty central, actually, on the edge of the box. And it was just like, there you go. Barcelona fans are already celebrating.
I'm going to do a bit of trivia, because there'll be some people listening to the show, young people listening, who don't know Koeman as a player, which is absolutely frightening.
And he was great. One of the best long passers of the ball.
Ronald Koeman was what would we say, a centre-back sort of player. Yeah. Sometimes play midfield, sometimes, but generally a centre-back.
Yeah. Ball-playing... Ball playing centre back.
How many
fantastic long pass on him.
How many goals do you think in his career Ronald Koeman scored?
How many games is that?
He played 680 games.
I'm going to go with 174.
No, that's too high for a defender. What's wrong with you?
I reckon he probably got about. I reckon
60. I think 60 would be
close to 100. I'd say 95.
239 goals.
Oh, my God.
It's like one in three.
That is obscene. That is
why didn't they play him up front?
Yeah, I know.
They didn't need to, because they had strikers and him.
Well, we could have him out and a striker. Yeah.
And he wasn't hitting them in from 80 yards, so he must have been going on sejons.
Yeah. He got pens and he had free kicks, but that's still amazing.
But it's such a shame. Well, obviously, I would say this.
But if you're given that he played a lot of his career at top level.
Barcelona.
Yeah, given that he's a centre, would you not be happy as a striker playing for the clubs he played for with that record?
Oh my God,
massively.
Oh,
that's like club hero territory. And he is, but I mean,
crazy,
just,
isn't it?
It's
crazy.
Weird.
That is brilliant. And it's such a shame that most English people remember him for hauling down David Platt, because as you say, on that alone he had such a phenomenal career.
Speaking of our defenders, Steve Bruce never got a full England cap, so
which is crazy, isn't it?
But Koeman can't be blamed for doing what he did for his country. The referee should have set him off, but it's not Koeman's fault. Koeman did the right thing.
I'm just saying, unfortunately, certainly in some parts of the English press and all, that's what Koeman is remembered for.
Absolutely. When he was painted as a villain, wasn't he? The tabloid press were particularly vicious at that time. He's in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, isn't he? So
I'm not sure.
If he is, then he'll be up on the website.
Closed, locked, can't look in.
For now.
You hear us, Liverpool fans? We've lost the keys.
Harry Kane might find them.
He'd only drop them.
Oh, dear. But going back to the Premier League. Man City versus Sunderland. Dire first half. And then second half, City... went into a 2-0 lead. Here we go. And then the City old boys.
And the Chelsea old boy.
Yeah. Well, Rodwell and Johnson scored the penalty. Yeah. And even the keeper.
Pantilimon
had a good game as well. He's been doing pretty well.
But I mean, that's kind of
Super Frankie.
This is pretty normal, isn't it, for City, because they've had such a high turnover of players in the time where they've established themselves as a major player that this is just part of it.
But sort of harvest players. They get the players they want, and the ones that don't quite make it tend to go to other Premier League.
Rodwell and Johnson are perfect examples of almost having them so no one else can have them, and having a really good young player in
as
pretty much a reserve. Exactly.
Rangers used to do that in Scotland. They were terrible for that. Any Scottish player with a bit of promise. know, back in the day, snap them up, and it is to the detriment of the Scottish national team.
Absolutely,
it was,
yeah.
You know. But it was good to see them scoring at Man City once again. Liverpool 2, Leicester 2.
Nuno. What a goal.
There you go.
What a goal.
There's your bleeding difference.
The difference.
Yeah. That's goal of the season. There. Done. No more goals need to be scored.
Yeah, and it was the player of the season on that alone.
But it was, Jim. I mean, it was nice ball in. The chest set up. Chest set up.
I'll tell you something now. That was Di Canio-esque, that
film. Laser guided.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely brilliant. And he's an Everton fan as well, so he's loving it. He's absolutely loving that.
Oh, you've got a feel for them for the penalty decisions. The one on Wes Morgan's face is very much not a hand.
He's having an interesting season.
Yeah. He sometimes looks like an absolute colossus, doesn't he? And then at times he just looks a bit sort of confused.
He's like a colossus with 150 self-destruct buttons all over his body. Yeah. One could be pressed at any time.
If you don't know where most of them are, you'll still find one.
Yeah. Just kick the ball at him.
If it hits his face, you get a penalty. Yeah. That's what football do to you.
If it hit any other part of his body, it's an own goal. That's what football do to you.
Oh dear. But the news came out that Gerrard is obviously finishing with Liverpool at the end of the season. People are talking about MLS maybe with LA Galaxy swapping in there. He'd have a lovely old time, wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't you do that? I'd be doing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he's put the graft in.
What a servant he's been to the club. I mean, he found a lot of people saying, John Aldridge actually said that he's the best player Liverpool ever had because he said he rates him higher than Kenny Dalglish. I don't necessarily agree with this, but he rates him higher than Kenny Dalglish because Kenny Dalglish, by and large, was surrounded by great teams all the time. But Gerrard's dragged them to places.
But I mean, yeah, he's demonstrably won them things. That when you look at the Champions League and the FA Cup final against West Ham as well.
That's right. Often in big finals, Gerrard would turn up. I mean,
dive. Come on, he did it.
Do you know what I was about to say? The thing that annoys me,
Donaldson.
Come on to that in a minute.
Okay.
But couple of days.
Save that for after the music.
Fair enough. But on the day that a player like Steven Gerrard, who, you know, who's clearly absolutely fantastic. If he would say by his own admission he didn't achieve what he wanted to achieve in an English shirt, fine, that's for him to say. But on the day the man retires, it is my view that if you've got nothing nice to say about the guy, don't say anything.
Yeah, of course.
So if you're a Man United fan, don't pipe up on our Facebook page or on Twitter about how, he wasn't really a top player, you know, he never really did this, he never really did that.
Nonsense. He clearly was, though.
Yeah, if you've got nothing for that one day, football, can we just have one day?
Yeah. We'll have an armistice.
If you're the fan of a rival team, right, and you say something nice about him, great, because that looks really good for you, it's a classy thing to do. If you've got nothing nice to say, stay quiet for at least one day, let him have his plaudits for the career he's had, and let's all enjoy the things he's brought to the game.
I bet, like, Manchester United make Paul Scholes come out of retirement on the day Gerrard retires just to try and overshadow it or some crap like that.
Ferguson knew exactly what he was doing when he said that he didn't think Gerrard was a top player. Bollocks, doesn't he?
But if
he's
you
only
ask,
saying that like because Gerrard was a Liverpool player.
But if you asked Alex Ferguson, the point is, if you asked Alex Ferguson on the day that Steven Gerrard announced his retirement, Alex Ferguson would say, what a player.
Of course, absolutely.
That's the right thing
to do. And also, there can be a misconception that Gerrard, you know, didn't win that much or whatever. He did, you know, he won FA Cup finals, League Cups, UEFA Cup. And one of the greatest UEFA Cup finals against
Champions
Alaba.
Yeah, and they won a treble in that
League
season
finals.
As well.
Yeah, they did. And I think people may focus that, it's such a shame he didn't win the league. Well, yes, I suppose if you take a very neutral stance, then yes it is. But look at the other great players. You know, Bobby Moore never won a league.
But his closest so chance of doing it was in his twilight of his career at Liverpool, really, which is fascinating, really. Mm. It says so much. And the amount of times this season other players haven't turned up, and he has. Mm. Brendan Rodgers basically said, like, you won't get your game every time. And he said that was the hard thing to hear.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of thinking, God, out of all the players he's got this season, he's pulled him out of the mire on more than one occasion.
But what is going to be strange going to be the first time, maybe ever, that Liverpool don't have like a local homegrown player that's a real, you know, part of the heartbeat of the side.
I was thinking
that stretches back so far, that legacy of those players.
The closest thing they've got is Henderson.
Yeah, but Henderson's not.
No, I know, but
he is
clearly. If he stays on the path he's on, he's clearly going to be the next. I know he's not from Liverpool, but you know, Bob Paisley's not from Liverpool.
Of course,
he could still be the guy to take on the mantle because he looks like he's been given the captaincy here and there. I imagine. No, I've got no insight into it, but I'm just sort of observing. I imagine he'll step up as captain.
I take your point, but obviously what Jim's saying is a little bit different. But I think you know that.
If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be quite worried about what the future was holding because
mate, you got your own problems.
Worry about yourself, mate.
I said if I was.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about a move.
Poor old Petey. But your boys were in a great game. 3-3 at home to Burnley.
I thought Burnley were excellent.
They were. Another good away result for them. Ings and Boyd
George
coming
Boyd,
up front.
Yeah, and that rocket of a left foot.
Oh, lovely old time.
But it seemed really inevitable after the second time they'd gone, gone in front. Yeah. Like Burnley had popped up and scored another one. It's like, oh, it's just going to end up about 4-4, isn't it?
Is John Carver the new Kevin Keegan? Because 3-3 in a barn burner of a league game. Routine loss in the cup. Could be.
Yeah, he doesn't look quite as haggard yet.
And Carver's a Geordie as well, isn't he?
Yeah,
Geordie as
well. But Carver hasn't got his foot stuck in a bucket on the top.
There's still time. If he did, he'd obliterate the bucket with his head.
To be fair, Carver would punch someone in a lay-by. He wouldn't get punched.
Yeah, true.
So,
Stephen Taylor out for the season.
Oh, that's a real
classic. Absolutely textbook, that is.
Achilles injury, really sore, yeah. Really sad for him.
Better off out of it. Do you think? That's what I say. Just don't worry about it.
That's what Pards thought.
Would you want to play in Newcastle's back line? Like, Colaccini sort of said, I don't want the manager's job, I've got enough football to play. Well, play football then. Do some fucking defending.
They pay higher rates than anybody I get employed by, let me tell you, so I wouldn't mind.
A lot of freelance talk on the podcast this week, Marcus.
Anyway, let's go to the Scottish Premiership. Scotland's Premier Division. Or is it? Well, only in name. But Aberdeen are top of the league!
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's 2015 and Aberdeen are top of the league.
And where are Celtic?
They're second.
How many games in hand?
Yeah. Two, 4 points behind.
Celtic will be 1 point behind after tonight because they're going to beat Kilmarnock.
Well, you never know. On a away trip to Killy.
Yeah, true. It's not a gimme, is it?
Yeah. It's never a gimme at Killy.
Lakin.
Ronnie
Delia.
Ronnie Delia, thank you. He had to come out and say, no, Celtic, we're still the best team in the league. Ooh. Had to come out and say it, didn't you, Ronnie?
Rangers aren't even in it.
Aberdeen are.
Yeah.
The Dandies, mate.
Mm.
The Dandies are top.
The boys from Pittodrie are going to bring it home.
They are.
Mm. What about the Hybees and the Jambos, though?
Well, it was 1-1. Hearts, 19 games unbeaten this season. The best unbeaten run in Europe this season. Not a problem. Actually, Hibs did cause Hearts a lot of problems.
Is that because Real Madrid have got beat, basically?
Well, they've all been beat.
Yeah,
Celtic are winning away at Kilmarnock.
There you go.
Well, there's an update.
Winning, haven't won.
No, it's true.
Don't take your eyes off it, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't necessarily know the score. It could be 6-0.
Marcus, you remind me of one of those soldiers you hear about where they've been in the jungle fighting wars that have ended for years and years at a time.
Yeah.
Where they won't accept it's over until they hear it from their commanding officer.
In a heart shirt.
Yeah.
Oi, don't disrespect the soldiers.
I'm not doing that.
To be fair,
don't tweet me.
To be fair to Hearts, 19 games unbeaten is decent. It's a good return.
I know, in one of the best leagues in Europe. So,
well, I don't
this season,
that,
this yeah. season. Yeah, not it isn't normally, but yeah. Walker with a lovely equaliser. Well done. Well done, the Georgie boy.
Yeah, that was a beauty.
Oh, yeah, the magnificence. Stroll on.
Rangers served by another lawn.
I know, hey.
Kids on the brink.
Yeah, they never learn, do they?
No.
Is it from Wonga? Is that what Mark Ashley's doing?
Maybe, I don't know, yeah. You just don't need the tail in a sports direct.
All
over the floor.
No one cleaned it up.
Can we go briefly to the French Cup?
Yeah.
Now, there's a competition that loves an upset.
Do you know how many teams entered the French Cup this year?
Is it like 500 or something?
70.
Isn't that normally what it is?
8,000. 506.
I wouldn't like teams. To do the draw for that.
No.
The FA Cup is the oldest cup competition in the world. I think I'm right in saying the Coupe de France, the French Cup,
is one of the best.
It's the largest because you are allowed to enter it. It starts off with regional games.
So
you're allowed to enter it from like Guadeloupe.
Yeah.
Reunion Island.
Oh, of course.
All those teams can enter. The colonies. So that's why it's so big. It's
Jersey and Guernsey and all would be in the FA Cup, would they not?
8,516.
That is sensational.
Ours is the longest running cup. Theirs is a cup that could run on for the longest time.
But what is great about their cup is there are so many upsets.
Yeah.
Every year.
I don't know what you're going to talk about.
Well, I think this was the main one, wasn't it? Yeah. The fourth tier, how would you pronounce this?
It's Grenoble, isn't it? And then isn't their name Grenoble Foot 38
or something? Yeah. Grenoble Foot 38?
I don't speak French, I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah. Grenoble we'll go for. They put out the team who are top of league, Marseille. Beals as Marseille. That is sensational. That really, yeah. I mean, that's what, League Two putting out Man City?
The last minute of extra time equaliser from...
it was 3-all after extra time, but it was 2-all going into extra time.
One of the biggest pylons I've seen in football.
It was class. The best thing was, there was a man with a beard, I don't know, for Grenoble, and he was stood next to the pylon. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
He couldn't stand on top of the pylon. He couldn't get on top of the pylon, so he was just looking around going, I don't know what to do with my face, I'm so excited.
You can't really sort of like wedge your way into the middle of a pylon, can you?
Do you reckon you've never seen a pylon before? That would be a sorry step affair.
You don't take a beer to a pylon.
He was probably regarding that pylon.
You're talking to a man who got a hairline fracture of his sternum in a pylon once.
And that's one of the strongest bones in the body, isn't
it? Yeah. And you are well insulated.
Yeah, I am. You look like a man who could withstand one.
Wow.
You're a tall chap.
You'd be wrong on that.
My goodness,
pylons do to you.
The best thing about that celebration was it was only to take it to penalties.
Yeah.
The celebration wasn't, we've gone through it, we're still in it.
But did you see the penalty save that kind of won it?
Oh, you flicked it onto the bar, did he?
It was incredible. Incredible, one-handed, outstretched to the left. It was incredible. What a save.
At that point, Grenoble foot 38 just had all the momentum, though, didn't they? And that was what they were.
Sound like a team for the future. They got 38 players. They won. Oh, man.
That's like 500 games to get to this
one. Yeah, exactly.
It's a hell of a pylon with 38 players. Yeah. Everyone's sternum's getting broken.
Oh, man.
Beals
said after the game, there is no point analysing this match. This is an unacceptable result, and I'm mainly responsible for it.
Get off your cool box, Bielsa.
I know. But I'm talking to celebrating against lower teams, Gignac, who's been a good player for Marseille recently, when he slotted in the first one after 5 minutes, probably going away to the away fans and cheering away, but they equalised 4 minutes later and we thought, oh, we've got a game on here. But it was fantastic, worth checking out.
The atmosphere was amazing there, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was admirable.
Indeed, Jim, indeed. Now let's get back to league football from the league. It's La Liga. Real Sociedad 1
David.
Barcelona 0
Barcelona 0.
That's right. Lovely win for David Moyes and his mob.
David
Moyes.
Oh,
lovely old
David
job.
Moyes.
Yes.
David Moyes.
David Moyes.
All sorts going on at Barcelona at the moment. Zubizarreta gone. Puyol gone. Transfer ban, of course. Puyol was assistant sporting director.
That's right.
And Zubizarreta was, I believe, fired today.
Why did Puyol go then?
Because he was working for Zubizarreta.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
because you said about the new Puyol.
it was part of fucking
him supporting Zubizarreta.
Am I right? The backline.
Puyol was, yeah.
But in his decision.
The thing is that Zubizarreta, I think a lot of the blame for everything. I mean, what's his name?
He's been at the club for years.
Guillaume Balague was talking about. Well, he's famous.
Well, in all sorts of capacities.
But Guillaume Balague was saying a lot of the problems that they've had Barcelona in terms of things like the transfer ban, the way they're operating with young players, which has proved to be illegal. The no defender signed because Puyol, even though the new Puyol was retiring, all this stuff has been laid at Zubizarreta's door.
Well, they did sign Jeremy Mathieu and a permanently injured Thomas Vermaelen. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's part of the problem.
Yeah. Trying to help.
Yeah. You're making it worse.
I don't know too much about the whole thing, but the interesting thing that Balague was saying was that he was saying that while Barcelona are only a point off the top of the table and the results have overall been quite good. I mean, they're still in the Champions League, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, Luis Enrique just isn't very popular at all. People aren't taking to him. There's a lot of problems around the team.
He put a big mess on the bench, didn't he?
Yeah.
What a big mess it's caused.
Messi was apparently absolutely fuming. I think the actual word I saw described, I don't know what it is in Spanish, was livid.
Livid,
yeah.
Oh, dear.
But Messi's one of the players, one of the sort of caliber of players who could get a manager fired.
By himself.
Did he not get Tata Martino hired? Let's talk of that. And obviously he wasn't very good. I think, you know. So the thing I was going to say about Messi is, though, no matter how good we've talked about this before, about the cult of the individual in football. Now Messi is just a player. So if the manager wants to drop a player, he should better do that.
Yeah, and also there's an argument that he's going to need to rotate at some point. Messi's played so much.
The manager is judging his results. Okay, cool, they got beaten, but the point is it's the manager's. It's the manager's decision to drop a player if he wants to, whoever that player is.
Yeah, and also there is, you know, Messi's on a bit of a dangerous territory, because if he's going absolutely crazy that he's been dropped, it not only suggests that he thinks he's amazing, which he is, but he also doesn't trust the person who's put in his place. And that could be quite discouraging for a player who's playing in his position and has gone in there, if Messi's kicking off about
You've already got a lot. You've always got a mountain to climb.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, maybe Messi will be off. How about that? To Man City, and James Milner's just got a starting place. What are you going to do, James? Well, I'm going to fight for my place.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to sign Messi, I'm not signing the new deal.
Perez will start piping up soon.
Like, you can come to us if you want.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Stoking those flames.
Yeah.
Milner to Madrid.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Real Madrid, they lost their 22 match.
They need run. Messi.
He's ended by Los Che, Valencia. Too short of the world record.
Is the world record held by Curitiba?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mm. It's so frustrating, isn't it, for them?
Well, they are sort of this rich, evil empire, so it's kind of nice.
I said for them.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Mm. You don't know what Curitiba are like.
Yeah, true.
I doubt they're as, you know, rich and evil as Real Madrid.
Yeah. Maybe not sort of an empire situation going on there.
You talk about Frank Clark slagging off Nottingham Forest. Imagine if you were Real Madrid PR man.
I'm not. That's the point.
He was.
Evil. We
Maybe
are
that's
evil.
What Zubizarreta was doing with Barcelona. Instead of Frank Clark.
Yeah, just wandering around doing evil things in front of kids and dogs and...
If you're listening, Frank,
things.
I'm sorry about this. I've got a feeling that Frank Clark's probably quite a nice bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was the head of the PFA for a while, wasn't he? Was he PFA or head of something?
Something like that.
He was important, I know that.
He was head of something.
Head of moustaches.
In my newly introduced corrections and clarification section later, one thing I learnt last week was don't go off piece too much.
No. Head of Tudor crisps.
Yeah, it could have been.
Could have been.
But yeah, Valencia with a great win against Real Madrid. Atletico Madrid, they won 3-1 against Levante. They're right back in the title race, right up there. And it's... Well done to them, because their strike force was gone after the end of last season. Obviously, David Villa moved on.
And before that, to replace Falcao, of course.
Yeah, and obviously Diego Costa. So they've done so well in managing that situation.
But they do, don't they? That's the thing. Simeone's had to do this every season. Maybe not to this degree, but he's experienced that.
And managers before him.
You say that, but he's just signed Fernando Torres.
Mm. What a freak.
How that goes.
Yeah.
Did you see the unveiling? Good Lord.
A lot of people.
40,000.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Shearer, Michael Owen-esque.
Yeah. Well, the Atleti president said, ever since...
The prodigal son returned.
Yeah, ever since the date he left, we've all been waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
You're enjoying him fucking everything up.
Well, no, we were talking before, last week, in fact, weren't we, about how Torres was never prolific in his first spell at Atletico Madrid, and I think that memory will help him this time around.
Just do what you always did. No, he was a good player.
He did score.
Of course, yeah.
There was no lack of goals, but I know what you mean.
It wasn't what we saw in Liverpool.
Where were you when we were shit? I wasn't scoring any goals, I know that. So, yeah.
Well,
definitely
present. Before we go to Pete's Mystery Voice game, let's go quickly to Thailand, where former Newcastle favourite Noblelotu Solano has reportedly agreed to take the reins at third tier side. Who are in City.
Can he not get a Newcastle nod?
Well, you'd think so. I mean, what I would say is notable womaniser Norbert Aslana going to a notable fleshpot. There you go.
I am making no comment on that.
All I'm saying, third tier side in Thailand.
I mean,
come on.
I'm loath to side.
If this was a crime, if this was like the Serial podcast or something, I'd have a big chart on the wall with a piece of string go from a pair of boobs to Nobby's eyes. And that's all it would be. There'd be nothing else on the chart.
Trumpet? Would there be a trumpet?
Yeah, maybe a trumpet.
Yeah.
As a side concern.
A Trialva trumpet.
Just leaning against the bedroom door.
Yeah. Oh dear!
What is he doing?
Good luck to him.
He said he wanted a role in England.
Yeah. Is Peter Reid still
rolling
there?
A bed?
Is Peter Reid still there?
It's not. I don't know.
No, Peter Reid was in India, wasn't he?
Stop going off piece.
He was one of the stars of the Indian Premier League.
Robbie Fowler was out in Thailand for I can't remember United. One
that's
of the
as off piece as Peter Reid being there.
Yeah. No, but there are no pieces in Thailand. Remember. It's too warm. Let's make that very clear.
Right, now it's time for Pete's Misery Voice game. Please.
Right.
Peter Reid is the current manager of Mumbai City. I just looked it up. Right. There you go.
I said India.
Go. Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that's where Mumbai is. You probably got it Bombay.
At time recording.
Right, it is time for Pete's Mystery Voice game. I am speaking of myself in the third person, like Zlatan or something. Nobody got it right.
It was
a very difficult one. Chris Langford went for Vinnie Jones, Theo Walcott, Corbin Green, no. Alan Kirbishley, no. Steve Jones, Danny Mills, Christopher Hulland. Let's have a look. A lot of Vinnie Joneses. Patrick Sellier goes for some cunt, which was necessary.
Come on.
Not necessary.
Patrick. Who said that, Patrick?
Enemy of the Rams.
But then he does write Happy New Year from South Africa.
Take away his enemy status.
Yeah.
He's neutral.
So it's a rollover. If you know who this is,
ball watching.
Do let us know. voice@thefootballramble.com.
Is it Vinnie Jones?
It's not Vinnie Jones. You don't
get
the points.
Is it some? No, no, I won't say it. Jim.
Don't say it.
Now it's time for your highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Yes, now to include the new feature, points of address / corrections and clarification.
Oh, good.
Because last week, I went off piste a couple of times. I can't even remember why.
What did you say?
But I remember saying that Big Ben is the bell and the actual tower is St Stephen's
of
Tower.
Of all the things to pick him up for.
Oh, good lord.
It's actually called Elizabeth Tower. It was renamed in 2012 for the Queen's Golden Jubilee.
Oh, I don't endorse that.
I don't really know, again, why we were talking about this, and I don't really want to go back and re-listen because it'll ruin the illusion, but I, for some reason I have to tell everyone that Hannibal took elephants over the Alps and not the Himalayas.
I saw you reply to that on Twitter and I was going, I don't even remember that bit.
I don't even know why I thought remember that. I don't know why Hannibal would even be in the Himalayas. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, so that's correction of clarification.
Correction of clarification is that you have perpetrated in the first place.
Yeah, I fucked up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Lukey fuck up. Lukey's fuck ups.
Was I piping up in the mystery voice thing? No.
Pete,
this is my section.
Pete, careful, because I'm pretty sure I'll end up in that next week.
The reason I've never done a correction or clarification in the past is because I didn't want to...
Because it was too long.
I didn't want to encourage listeners to point out the errors in that.
Yeah.
The
we'll need
the
a separate email address for that.
Pete at the...
I don't read them.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, here we go. Here's some highlights of your listeners, the week you've had. All right. From Aaron Tunney, he says, my mum decided to organise a family get together on New Year's Day. I gave up a ticket to Spurs v Chelsea. Lesson learnt.
Oh, God.
It's a shame, yeah. Scott Mill, this is a very good point. Scott Mill says on Twitter, mine is Jimmy Bullard doing his best to look like Mickey Rourke during the Arsenal Hull City game. Did you see that? Did you see what he was wearing?
Like a vampire estate agent.
Yeah.
Incredible.
His hair put up in a bun, he had his shirt undone, a massive medallion on. Very strange. It really was very strange indeed. Here we go. This is a good one from Robert Weavers. He emailed me saying this. So I went to the Southampton Ipswich game. Great atmosphere for a third round tie. 31,500 people packed in. Highlight had to be the bloke behind me who threw his pie on the ground in frustration after a misplaced pass before stamping on it. The pie subsequently exploded gravy all over his trousers. He left the match straight after. 30 minutes to go, grumbling loudly that he had recently divorced, so he didn't even have a wife to clean him for him. Oh, what a good bloke!
Yeah, clean yourself, mate. If you do things like that, maybe you'll hang on to your wife.
Yeah, what a relationship. He's not listening.
Unnecessary anger, stabbing on a pie, not having a wife. Time.
We're losing sight of the issue. It's a waste of a bloody good pie.
Good pie, yeah. We've got a hashtag press room spy update.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Love these.
Do we normally name the guy or not? I can't remember.
No, obviously not.
Oh, okay, right. I won't
do his initials.
His initials? No.
But give him a
ZH.
give him a pseudo name. Make one up.
A pseudo name.
Pseudo
name.
Give him a. Give him a
Johnny Press Room Spy.
There you go.
He says, new chocolate cake in the press room at the King Power Stadium.
Oh, nice.
Always nice to be kept abreast of that. This is fantastic. This is from Jonathan at Johnny K. Steve McLaren on the radio thanking Derby for giving him his current job because he said, I wasn't working before, I was at QPR.
Amazing. That's a dig.
Fantastic. And then we got from Andrew Steele here. He said, I remember a game a few years ago when a Barrow fan threw a pie on the pitch next to a fat, in quotes, keeper. He laughed, took a bite and threw it back to applause. We signed them a couple of years later. Yeah. Michael Cox was on a marker replied saying, does that qualify as tapping up?
Excellent.
Mike Lee giving me some support. Hashtag Mostradamus, the imminent sacking of Stuart Pearce. Good man. Appreciate that. What else have we got here? One more, I think. Let me just try and find it.
So you mentioned Robert Huth.
Oh yeah, we can't talk about that.
Why not?
Talk about that. Simon James. Simon James says
it's on Twitter.
Since records began this year, finally marked the eradication of the word plucky during FA Cup broadcasts. Apparently, you didn't hear it once.
That's good. Okay.
That's always good. One thing we should say about the FA Cup is that why do commentators always have to say the
magic?
The occupation of the players in the, from
oh,
the
yeah,
league.
That's right.
We know that they've got other jobs.
Probably quite difficult to know anything else about them, isn't it?
But it's
a little bit of trivia.
Yeah,
maybe it rounds the point home that a barman scoring against a load of professional footballers who are playing in the Championship.
I don't mind that so much.
I'll finish off from Mr. West, who says, John Carver inheriting Alan Pardew's bumper book of excuses just in time for our annual third round exit.
Yay!
Nice. Mine was Ben Arthur signing for Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And he said, my mind was made up in 10 minutes. Even if Real Madrid had come forward, I'd have said yes to Nice.
Because there's not a biscuit called Barcelona, that's why.
There you are. Jim, Pete, any highlights? Or maybe not?
No. I've just enjoyed this podcast.
Indeed you have.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a bit of point of admin.
Yes.
There's a couple of tickets returned for our Edinburgh live show at the end of the month. You can go online.
About 300.
Yeah.
How dare they?
They've all...
Yeah. Yeah, 300. No, that's not. And so I wanted to say that the tickets did go quite quickly, but to that end, it's worth checking back every so often if you do want to come, or if you want to turn up on the day, you'll be returned to the box office, that sort of stuff. So if you are interested in going to one of the live shows in either Manchester, Edinburgh, or indeed London, you may well be able to get a return ticket.
And if you just walk past, just pop in, say, have you got any tickets left?
Yeah. Or come to Oslo.
Yeah, don't do that. Health and safety.
There you go. That's it. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, on the website where you can find out about the live shows is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, on Absolute Radio this weekend, from 3 o'clock on Saturday, Rock and Roll Football, the live Barclays Premier League match will be Chelsea vs Newcastle, the wounded animal taking on John Carver's team. good.
Nice one. There we are. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye,
Pete.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me, dears.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.